Violinist Victoria Mullova and cellist Matthew Barley. The husband and wife team who have wowed audiences at the BBC proms, both separately and together. On Thursday night on Radio 3, you can hear them in a pair of proms concerts, playing a new work by Thomas Larcher at 7 o'clock and several of Matthew Barley's own arrangements in a late-night prom from 10:15. A colourful evening taking in music from many genres. Thursday night at the BBC Proms from 7.
Well, good afternoon from me, John Shea, with you this Sunday afternoon here on BBC Radio 3, where in an hour's time you've another chance to hear last Tuesday night's prom, French and English music from the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, with Saint-Saëns' Organ Symphony to round it off. That begins at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Before that, in a couple of minutes, we're off to York for today's early music show. And now, at a minute after 1 o'clock, here's David Cornett with the BBC News.
Senior police officers have strongly criticised David Cameron's decision to invite an American former police chief to advise ministers here on tackling gang violence. Bill Bratton has been credited with reducing crime in several US cities. The president of the Chief Superintendents Association, Derek Barnett, said the style of policing was very different in America, where he said officers had artillery that would make small armies quite envious. The Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, also questioned the wisdom of such a move, pointing out that America has a far worse gang culture than the UK. A 26-year-old man and a youth of 17 have appeared before magistrates in Birmingham, charged with the murders of three men in the city who were hit by a car during disturbances last week. Joshua Donald and the teenager, who can't be named for legal reasons, were remanded in custody. A British soldier from 1st Battalion, the Rifles, has been killed by a bomb while on patrol in Helmand province, his family has been told. Further north, at least 19 people have been killed in an attack by militants on a compound housing the offices of the governor of Parwan province. Libyan rebel forces appear to have taken control of at least part of the coastal town of Zawiya, which is about 30 miles west of Tripoli. Small numbers of opposition fighters have been seen in the centre of the town, although it's believed that government troops are still in the area. Activists in Syria say at least 19 people have been killed by government forces during an attack by land and sea on the port city of Latakia. They say the Navy shelled two residential areas with tanks in support. Syrian state television has denied that any shelling has taken place. Norwegian police have taken the gunman, Anders Breivik, back to the island where he killed 69 people last month. Breivik, who wore a bulletproof vest and was tethered on a rope, was seen pointing to where he'd fired shots. The weather, a fresher day with showers and sunny spells. Most of the rain will be in the north. It'll be drier but cloudier in the south. BBC News and weather at 1:03.
From David Cornett. So now on BBC Radio 3, the early music show, which today finds Catherine Bott outside one of England's stately homes for the 2011 York Early Music Festival.
Harwood House on a calm July evening. Lord Harwood's personal standard is flying at half-mast to mark the passing a few days ago of George Lascelles, the 7th Earl. An intensely cultured member of the royal family, when imprisoned in Colditz Castle during the Second World War, he made a close study of Grove's Dictionary of Music and Musicians, getting as far as the letter T. He filled his 88 years with music, at various times chairing or directing the Edinburgh Festival, Opera North and English National Opera. Many years ago, his uncle Edward, who was to become the Duke of Windsor, remarked, "It's very odd about George and music. You know, his parents were quite normal, liked horses and dogs and the country." Well, countless musicians and singers have cause to be thankful for that apparent oddness. The Harwoods have always been welcoming hosts to the York Early Music Festival, for example. The recital we're featuring in today's programme was dedicated by the festival to Lord Harwood's memory, and it took place in the gallery, a long and elegant room originally created by Robert Adam and today filled with Renaissance Italian paintings. Lord Harwood loved modern art, but he also took great pleasure in supervising the restoration of 18th and 19th century features of his family home. The gallery is a sort of visual hymn to the pleasures of the Grand Tour, which is highly appropriate for our artists today. Cellist and gamba player Daniel Yeadon and harpsichordist Neil Perez da Costa, they've called their programme Visitors to London, and that's just what they are. Although they're both very fondly remembered on the London early music scene, they've been resident in Australia for several years, and they made a very welcome return to the 2011 York Early Music Festival. I seized the opportunity for a catch-up with them after the rehearsal, but let's have some music now. A sonata for viola da gamba and obbligato harpsichord by one visitor to London who stayed for 50-odd years, George Frederick Handel.
Thank you.
Handel's Sonata in C Major for Viola da Gamba and Obbligato Harpsichord, played by Daniel Yeadon and harpsichordist Neil Perez da Costa. Danny, let's go first with you. You're playing gamba in the first part of the concert and cello in the second.
Yes.
Which came first when you were a mere boy?
Oh, cello, yes. I started cello at the age of eight. My mother's a cellist and she's in the audience tonight. She set me off on a quarter-sized cello when I was eight, yes. Then I took up the baroque cello in my early 20s, and as a member of the group Florilegium, it became apparent that I really needed to learn the viola da gamba to play half of the repertoire that we were playing. So I took the gamba up in the mid-90s.
It's an instrument that has a sort of lovability about it. It's got that human quality to the sound. But by the time of this repertoire, you're playing Handel and Abel on it.
Yes.
Well, even by the time Purcell was writing his viol fantasias in the 1680s,
yes,
the viol was really, you know, old hat.
Absolutely.
So
yes.
How did it continue through to be written for by Handel and Abel?
Well, it's interesting. I think a lot of the high Baroque composers were really fond of the instrument, so they continued to write repertoire specially for it. I think Abel was probably the last person to write for it, and his style is distinctly going towards the classical period. There's something quite poignant about playing his music in the knowledge that the instrument went into decline after that.
Well, Abel himself was a gamba player, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, and by all accounts was a real virtuoso.
Thank you. A standalone sonata movement in D minor for solo viola da gamba, played by Daniel Yeadon. And now I'm turning around a little bit to talk to harpsichordist Neil Perez da Costa. Danny has made a big move from his native home. As soon as I let you speak, it's going to be obvious that you, in going to Australia, were returning home. Tell me how you got to London in the first place.
Oh, well, I got to London because I started studying the harpsichord at Sydney University when I was doing my undergraduate degree, and that was in the early 80s. And at that time, all the inspiring recordings were coming out from London and also from Holland, but the ones that I really took a shine to were the English ones. Early music in Australia was happening to an extent, but, you know, would be hard to get further with it in the way that I wanted to. I looked at prospectuses in London and decided to go to the Guildhall School. So I went for 1 year. I mean, I got in. I went for 1 year, and then 1 year became 15.
Now, I'm a little bit worried by that. I don't have you down as a slow learner. You didn't stay 15 years at the Guildhall, did you?
No, I didn't. I actually had 2 years at the Guildhall, during which time I met various wonderful London-based musicians. I met Ashley Solomon, and because he was a recorder player and flute player and I was a harpsichordist, we're thinking, how are we going to get any work in London? There are so many amazing musicians here. And we just thought to start off a group. So we formed Florilegium. It took off, and it became clear that I wasn't going back to Australia.
And Florilegium celebrated a rather big anniversary that you and Danny came back specially for.
That's right. It was last weekend, and it was the 20th anniversary. And Ashley had the brilliant plan of inviting the original members to come and play in the Brandenburgs and the Bach Orchestral Suites. And that's what we did, and it was amazing fun. We haven't played with some of the people for over 10 years. We all were wondering, why did we move on? But we have moved on, and it was good.
Well, we've heard a solo gamba piece played by Danny, and it's now time to hear you on your own playing the London Bach.
That's right, Johann Christian Bach, who was the youngest of the Bach sons, who, after his father died, studied with C.P.E. Bach, and then went to Italy and absorbed all the sort of wonderful opera gallant style, and then became a resident of London.
Neil Perez da Costa playing part of Johann Christian Bach's Sonata in C Minor, Opus 5, Number 6, on harpsichord here at Harwood House in Yorkshire, part of the York Early Music Festival 2011. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and at the moment I'm sitting on stage just before the concert given by Daniel Yeadon and Neil Perez da Costa. And it is time to ask you about early music in Australia. There was indeed a time when, if you wanted to make your name, you had to come away from Australia and come to Europe, and that absolutely is not true anymore.
That's right. I think things have changed dramatically in the last 20 years. We already had a very established group out there called the Renaissance Players with my former teacher, Winsome Evans, and that really was a wonderful group that kept going and it still exists. But since that time, people like Paul Dyer returned to Australia and set up his very wonderful Australian Brandenburg Orchestra, which has done an extraordinary amount for early music in Australia. It's put it on the map. It's a fantastic orchestra, great programming. He brings out international soloists and directors, and they've been going for 20 years too. Through that, audiences have become more and more interested in early music, and then smaller groups have also started out. And now, with our return to Australia, we've got a thriving early music unit at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music, which we both work in. I head, Danny does a huge amount of work in. And that's meaning that there's a new generation of players being trained in Australia, some of whom decide not to leave, in fact, to study, but stay on and continue a professional career.
Great, so the scene's just going to grow and flourish.
That's what we
have. Wonderful.
Yes.
Now, which one of you would care to tell me all about a composer I've never heard of before today, and that's Salvatore Lanzetti. Born in Naples, and he worked at court, came to London in the 1730s, it says here.
Yes.
And he was a real pioneer of writing for the cello as a solo instrument.
He
so
was.
So elaborate on that.
He was. Well, he wrote two sets of sonatas for the cello. The first set was a set called Sonatas in the Easy and Elegant Taste. They're very charming and gallant in their style. The later ones are really quite virtuosic. They're a little bit like the sonatas of Jean Barrière, who I believe was living in Paris around the same time. So it seemed that there were several characters in Europe who were championing the same cause.
So you've got a choice, virtuoso fireworks or easy and elegant taste. Which department does your sonata for tonight come from?
Oh, it's definitely from the easy and elegant taste set. This is the first piece I'm playing on cello after playing the gamba, so it would be quite tricky to go into the virtuosic mode after playing a different instrument.
And we're here in this wonderfully easy and elegant room, so good choice.
Absolutely.
Good choice, yeah. Thank you. cellist Daniel Yeadon and harpsichordist Neil Perez da Costa with Salvatore Lanzetti's Sonata in Easy and Elegant Taste, Sonata No. 1 in G major. Okay, Geminiani is your last composer for the night. And everybody thinks, oh yes, Geminiani, cello. So I'm going to ask Neil.
Oh, great.
Why did you choose this sonata?
Oh, well, partly because he was such an influential character in London and is in the early music scene now. His string writing, not just for the cello, but for other instruments, and also his treatises on performance, they form a very important part of early music learning. And the other thing is that Danny and I have played this piece for many, many years, and it's one of his best sonatas and a great ending to a program. And talking about switching into the virtuosic style, it certainly is a virtuoso sonata for the cello, and it's actually virtuoso for the basso continuo, so it gives us a lot to do. And it finishes with a very elegant minuet to send people on their way, so that's wonderful.
Perfect. So how many years have you two been playing that piece together?
Ooh, I think it was the early 90s when we first started playing it. So.
And has your interpretation changed?
Oh, it's got fire, of course.
I think it's matured. That's an obvious thing to say, and hopefully it has matured, but I think one of the things with early music, we were talking about this earlier on today, you sort of, every time you pick up a piece that you've played before, you think, oh gosh, is that what I do with it? And you ask all the questions again that you asked at the very start, do I want to really play it like this? So I think we seem to have a better idea maybe of what we want to do, and it'll keep evolving.
Well, Danny and Neil, I should say, Daniel Yeadon and Neil Perez da Costa, I think now I should let you go and get your virtuoso fingers ready, shouldn't I?
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
The sonata in D minor for cello and continuo, Opus 5, No. 2 by Geminiani. It was played by Daniel Yeadon and Neil Perez da Costa in the gallery of Harwood House as part of the 2011 York Early Music Festival. And it completes today's Early Music Show, which was presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Chris Wines. And you may like to know that the Early Music Show now has its own weekly podcast featuring edited highlights from the programmes. You'll find full details on the Radio 3 website.
The question is not what you look at, but what you see.
The camera was no longer an instrument that recorded presences. It was a way of making the world disappear.
I know I change, have changed. But whose is this vapid face, suspended in empty paper, as though in a telescope?
From Auden Atwood and Oster to Leos Janacek and Charles Ives. On BBC Radio 3, music, poetry and prose inspired by centuries of photographs and photography, with Robert Powell and Geraldine James. The Photograph.
On the screen, we can only witness human behaviour. Choice is for camera crews.
An uninterrupted sequence of words and music. Tonight at 10:15 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3, where it's a couple of minutes after 2 o'clock. And time for the Sunday concert. Today, another chance to hear last Tuesday night's Prom. It's presented by Andrew McGregor.
It's going to be an Anglo-French evening here in the hall. The Brits get the first half to themselves, while the French occupy the second half of the concert and commandeer the epic organ of the Royal Albert Hall as well. When organist Thomas Trotter joins the BBC National Orchestra of Wales for Marcel Dupré's Cortège and Litany, and then the great organ symphony by Saint-Saëns that Dupré himself played here at the Proms 76 years ago. François-Xavier Rutte is the orchestra's associate guest conductor. I know he's really been looking forward to this Prom.
It is the best festival ever. It's the only place where you have such an audience. And also the Hollywood spirit is still here in terms of, well, for example, the program that we present tonight is really a festival program. It's not a program that you could find in a regular symphonic season, but it's something so unique. So for all these reasons, it's such a joy to be here.
He really means it. So what about our two British composers in the first half of the Prom? The shadow of war hangs over two of the works. Simon Holt's Centauromachy is a concerto for clarinet and flugelhorn that depicts a battle between fantastic creatures from Greek mythology. While Frank Bridges' Blow Out You Bugles is a pacifist composer's reflection on the First World War. But the work we're going to hear first was written 9 years later, in 1927. It's Bridges' orchestral rhapsody, Enter Spring, which has the pastoral qualities you might expect, knowing that Bridges' inspiration was the windswept Sussex Downs in which he had his country cottage. Yet the accent might seem more French than English pastoral. Bridge was a fan of Gabriel Fauré, and he shows himself to be out of step with European modernism and more in tune with the landscapes of late Debussy or Ravel. Well, the BBC National Orchestra of Wales is led by Leslie Hatfield. She's already in her seat at the front of the first violins. And here to welcome the season of rebirth and renewal comes François-Xavier Rutte to conduct Frank Bridges' Enter Spring.
Thank you. Thank you.